ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. And I like that. What does it mean? Well, if I'm saved, he's the author of my faith. That means he's going to finish it. What does that mean? He's going to take me to glory one day. The security I have in Christ. So run with your eyes focused on him and you'll finish strong. And I think it's important. You know, you can look at it like this. Three things. Is it profitable for me or will it hurt me? Think about the situations, the things, what you're going to do. Is it profitable for me or is it going to hurt me? Will it help me run the race for Christ strong, or will it cause me to stumble? Will it ensnare me? You know, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Will what I'm doing enslave me? Will it bring me under its control? Will I be in bondage to it? It's an important question. Again, Paul said in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to have it control me. And the last one is, what I'm doing, is it going to hurt another Christian? Will it cause them to stumble? And it just shows how much we love the other person. We don't want to hurt them. We want to edify them, build them up. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 and 24, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. See how simple this is, Christian liberty? Look at the things you're going to, look at what you're going to do. Evaluate it before you do it. Because our Christian liberty is so precious, but don't let that Christian liberty cause you to stumble. Well, verse 13, Paul says, food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. What we see here is a principle for sexual purity among Christians. And the idea here is that our appetites for food and sex are not the same. Now, the Corinthian believers use this phrase to justify their behavior. I need food for my body to satisfy the craving, so I eat. My body is craving sex, so I go to a prostitute. It's the same thing, isn't it? That was the idea. That's what was going on in Corinth. That's why Paul is coming down so hard on them. What are you guys doing? This is not the same thing. It's vastly different. You can't apply your need to eat with your need for sex. And yet, we seem to justify our sins so well. Has God given us the sex drive? Yes. But Satan has perverted that, and so, thus don't go down that path, for sexual sin affects the body in a way that food could never. Because you become one with the person, you're giving some of yourself away to them. David Guzak put it like this. He said, because of our lustful sexual appetites, it may seem that God did make our bodies for sexual immorality. But God did not make our bodies that way. Sinful Adam did. We see the wisdom in God's design for the body and for sexual purity when we look at the problems of unplanned pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. These are the price one pays in the body for using the body in a way the Lord never intended. The body is not for sexual immorality. Absolutely. Sex is not wrong between a husband and wife. God has given that intimacy between a husband and a wife. But again, Satan always takes what is good and perverts it. He's a counterfeit. You don't think so? Think about the days we're moving into, where one day the Antichrist is going to be raised up and the false prophet. Well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about now? Satan is acting like God the Father. The Antichrist, who is going to be mortally wounded but raise up back to life, is acting like God the Son. And the false prophet is acting like God the Holy Spirit. He's a counterfeit. He's always been. Then how do we find out the truth? Jesus said in John 17, 17, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You see how simple it is? This is not complicated stuff. But we've moved away from what God has said in His Word and we go to personal feelings. Or we get special dispensations from God that we can do some sin that God is going to allow me to do, but not you to do, because I got a special dispensation. It's not going to work. We don't get special dispensations. God tells us. He says what He means, and He means what He says. And I like, you know, what Paul says here in verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. What we do with these bodies matters, because one day the Lord's going to raise these bodies up. Yeah, we're going to get new bodies. It's not going to be flesh and blood that inherits the kingdom of God. But why are you going to submit your bodies to sinful ways? You see, what we do with our bodies in regard to food does not affect us in the same way as what we do with our bodies in regard to sex, as I've said. And Paul's going to continue with this thought of bringing sexual sin into our lives and what it does in our lives. Look at starting in verse 15 here in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Notice how Paul opens this up. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Many of the believers in Corinth didn't think that their sexual conduct with prostitutes was a big deal. They didn't see that this affected their relationship with Jesus and how it affected others. They didn't see that. But Paul's saying, because we're members of the body of Christ, what we do affects the body of Christ. It affects us and the body in general. Individually, because when you have sex outside of marriage and even in marriage, you're giving a part of yourself to that person, as I've said. In marriage, it's a good thing. Outside of marriage, it's not. You're losing a part of yourself. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He gave us this perspective. Sex outside of marriage is like a man robbing a bank. He gets something, but it is not his, and he will one day pay for it. Sex within a marriage can be like a person putting money into a bank. There is safety, security, and he will collect dividends. I like that. That's pretty simplistic and pretty, it's right on. In his book, The Screwtape Letter, C.S. Lewis says that each time a man and a woman enter into a sexual relationship, a spiritual bond is established between them, which must be eternally enjoyed or eternally endured. And how true that is. We just need to be wise. We are linked together in the body of Christ, and when an individual Christian commits sexual immorality, it disgraces the entire body of Christ, linking the body of Christ to immorality. I mean, think about it. You know, when you've got these Christian leaders who fall into sexual sin, does the world ignore it? Are you kidding me? It's the top of the news. Why? Because they're mocking God. They're mocking the body of Christ. Oh, look at this guy. We need to be careful. To kind of give a perspective of this, one author put it like this, said, "Christ is not personally tainted with the sin, any more than the sunbeam that shines on a garbage dump is polluted, but his reputation is dirty because of the association." Absolutely. That's what, I believe it was Nathan the prophet said to David, that you've given the enemies of God a chance to mock God, make fun of Him, put Him down. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing Him in this world. And I'll tell you, sexual sin is a big deal today. Remember when Pastor Chuck was alive, I mean, he would say that his heart is broken almost daily hearing about pastors that have fallen into sexual sin. We need to be praying for pastors. We saw what happened at Willow Creek with Bill Hybels. He was accused of sexual misconduct with several women, and he resigned. But things are a mess over there because of that. And the statistics are incredible. Sex is the number one thing people search for on the internet. The internet's not evil. There are just evil people who put evil things on there. Over 420 million pornographic internet pages. 12 to 17-year-olds are the largest consumers of internet pornography. 42.7% of internet users view pornography. 42.7%. The pornography industry is larger than the revenues of the top technology companies combined. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink. Are you kidding me? 70% of women keep their cyber activity secret. Women more than men are likely to act out their behaviors in real life, such as having multiple partners, casual sex, or affairs. 68 million porn search engine requests daily. In 2006, worldwide porn revenues, $97.06 billion. That was in 2006. Is this a problem? Yes. And it's in the church. 7 of 10 lay leaders in the church admitted to visiting adult websites at least once a week. 5 out of 10 pastors did the same thing. Half of them. 60% of all Christian men and 30% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. 60% of the women who answered the survey admitted to having significant struggles with lust. 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year, and 20% of the church-going female participants struggle with looking at pornography on an ongoing basis. And here's the thing. It's more than statistics. It's people. It's husbands. It's fathers. It's mothers. It's wives. It's children. It's sons. It's daughters. It's families, friends, and co-workers. It's churches, ministries, it's the body of Christ. Never lose sight of that. This is an issue that needs to be dealt with in the church. And we have to reach out in love and help them, correct them, but do so in love to get them back on track. This is a very delicate issue because people get offended by it. But I'm telling you, do you want to be free in Christ or in bondage to sin? And I'll tell you, and this drives me crazy, but I'm not sure what to do with this. I get lots of Facebook requests, but I never confirm them until I look at who's doing it. I want to see. And I can't tell you the number that are on there that are, I mean, I don't know who these women are. And the way that, in their pictures, that's it, I'm done. You're gone. But they try to lure you in. Why? Because the devil knows once he has you, you're in bondage. We have to be careful. If you need to have protection on your computer, put protection on your computer. There's lots of stuff out there. For me, it's not really an issue for me right now. I hope it never is. But I know how dangerous this is. You think, well, again, what do we do with these people that have these problems? Well, Paul's going to deal with that next. And it's not some deep theological issue. It's pretty straightforward. We just need to listen. What do? Simple. Look at verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. What are we to do? Flee. Run. Don't go down that path. Get off that website. Shut down the computer. Whatever you have to do. Flee. Paul doesn't say, just be strong, be brave, resist the lustful passion of sexual immorality. No. Why? Because we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. I know it's not the same thing, but my wife used to do a lot of shopping for groceries. And for some reason, she loved to give me ice cream. And I really was trying hard to lose weight. This is a few years back. I'm like, Julie, don't buy it because if it's in there, I'm going to eat it. I'm sorry. And when I have it, you know, I have it with a big bowl with milk, and I'll put a little chocolate in there. But if it's not in there, it's not a problem. So be careful. Don't go down those paths. Many fall because they underestimate the power of lustful passion, or they think they will test themselves and see how they can do, how they're going to take it. Well, that's ridiculous. Paul basically says, run for your life. And isn't that what Joseph did with Potiphar's wife when Joseph was the slave at Potiphar's house? And Potiphar's wife tried to take advantage of him, and he ran out. Exactly. He didn't say, hey, I'm pretty tough, I can handle this. Are you kidding? You're a teenager. You're a young male adult, and you're going to handle this woman's lustful passion towards you? No, he said, I'm running. I'm getting out of here because I know I'm not going to be able to handle this. Now, let me also say this. Paul's not saying flee sex, an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. He's saying flee sex outside of marriage. Flee these pornographic sites that will lead you down a path of destruction. Don't fight. Don't stand up to these things or be brave about it. Run away from it. Shut it down. One pastor put it like this. He said, I believe he is saying that although sexual sin is not necessarily the worst sin, it is the most unique in its character. It rises from within the body bent on personal gratification. It drives like no other impulse, and when fulfilled, affects the body like no other sin. It has a way of internally destroying a person that no other sin has. Because sexual intimacy is the deepest uniting of two persons, its misuse corrupts on the deepest human level. That is not a psychological analysis, but a divinely revealed fact. Sexual immorality is far more destructive than alcohol, far more destructive than drugs, far more destructive than crime. Some years ago, a 16-year-old girl came to my office in complete despair. She had committed so many sex sins that she felt utterly worthless. She had not looked in a mirror for months because she could not stand to look at herself. And to me, she looked near 40 than 16. She was on the verge of suicide, not wanting to live another day. I had a special joy in leading her to Jesus Christ and seeing the transformation he made in her life. She said, for the first time in years, I feel clean. Wow. That's what God can do. He can cleanse us from all our sin. And Paul warned the Corinthian church, and I think the Holy Spirit is warning us, be on guard. Flee these things. Don't play with them. It's not a game. Look at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, Paul's saying, guys, don't take this lightly. This is very important. And yet, how many churches don't want to be bothered with what the Lord is saying here? They feel, hey, God wants me to be happy, and sex outside of marriage makes me happy, or whatever. But it's destroying them. It's not helping them. These bodies we have are the temple of God. What does it mean? Well, think about a temple. A temple is a place sacred to God and pure from immorality. And we are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us as believers. So in a sense, we're the temple of God. Isn't that interesting? Why do we want to pollute God's temple? Paul says, look, we were bought with a price. What did it cost Jesus to redeem us? His blood, his life. And Paul's saying, you need to live accordingly, understanding what it costs. Don't defile them with sexual sin or any sin. You know, Paul in Romans 6, verses 12 through 14, put it like this. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Absolutely. Be wise, be smart, be careful. I share with you before, you know, when I worked at the hospital, they would have Christmas parties. And they were usually at a restaurant. They would have alcohol and dancing going on. But it was only for the employees. It wasn't for their wives. And I never went. And they would go, Joe, why aren't you going? Come on, this is great. I said, why do I want to go to a place where there's alcohol and dancing and I can't take my wife with me? I'm setting myself up for disaster. And I'll tell you what, you got alcohol and that's all you need. You don't even need the dancing. And it's amazing what can happen. I went to a Christmas party from a place I was working at and they had alcohol, which I don't know why they did. They did. And I had my wife with me, because otherwise I wouldn't have gone. And before we even got in to eat, so many of the people I worked with were plastered. And this one girl wouldn't leave me alone. She finally got kicked out of the restaurant. She took her shoes off, was walking into the kitchen. I just wanted to run. I finally just sat at another table with some of the other docs and just tried to ignore the whole situation. But imagine what could happen if my wife wasn't there. See, you open the door for trouble and you mix a little alcohol and look out. We have to be wise. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Wow, how important that is for us to learn and apply to our lives, especially in the days we're living in when, you know, it's so crazy out there. Right is wrong and wrong is right. And I realize, you know, not an easy topic to talk about tonight, but again, an important one. And I'll just close with these words from Harry Ironside, because I think he was totally right when he wrote, glorify God in your body, and the spiritual side will take care of itself. Yeah. Glorify Him in your actions. And you know what? The reality is, you've built up that inner man. You have that deep relationship with God. And the things you do, they're just going to glorify God because of what's in you. It's your nature. And that's important. These things should start coming naturally to us, this righteousness. You know, when I worked in the hospital, I worked in the ICU, and yeah, there's a lot of sick people I took care of. And sometimes they crashed, they coded, they hearts went into V-fib, you know, they're quivering. And everyone kind of had their own thing that they did, which I always found interesting. You know, someone would grab the Ambu bag and start bagging them, and you know, someone would get on their chest, but not me. First thing I did was grab the pads, put the pads on, charge up the thing, charge up the defibrillator, and go, clear! You better move, because that thing's going off. Because that's the only thing that's going to help them. And there was, you know, we had advanced cardiac life support protocols that we followed. Bam, bam, bam. This is what you do next. This is what you give. This is what you do. And it was natural. I didn't have to go, oh, I wonder what I do. Where's my book? I got to look it up. No, this was natural. You know, when we're involved in the middle of a situation, we don't go, hey, I wonder what God has to say about that. You better know what God wants you to do. It should come natural in our lives. Hey, I'm uncomfortable in this situation. I'm removing myself from it. We just need to be wise. And I think that's Paul's point here. Yeah, this was a huge rebuke against the Corinthian church, but his whole desire was to get them back focused on the Lord so they wouldn't continue down this path away from God. How important that is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for these lessons, Lord. They're hard. They're not always easy. And Lord, we just desire to live for you. Yeah, some of our lifestyles before we were saved were pretty bad. And Lord, we're so thankful that that was our past and we have a new life in you. Not perfect, we still blow it. We still sin. But Lord, you're right there correcting us, keeping us on track, desiring us to follow you all the days of our life. That's our heart's desire. Help us, Lord. Help us to flee those lustful things that may come across our path. Not play with them or try and fight against them, but just run away from them. Turn them off. Don't listen to them. Don't watch them. Help us, Lord, to live for you. That we want to glorify you. These bodies are the temple of the living God. Your spirit dwells in us. And Lord, we want to glorify you. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.